How's everyone doing? Welcome to the DBJ Cole World Podcast on Friday, April 12th, 2024. And it is time for us to read the criminal complaint in the Max Anderson case, first degree intentional homicide of Sade Robinson here in Milwaukee. Here's Michelle.
State of Wisconsin versus Maxwell S. Anderson. He resides at 3161 South 39th Street in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He is charged with three counts. Count one, first degree intentional homicide. Second count, mutilating a corpse. Third count, arson of property other than a building. We're going to read the probable cause, which is basically why they had reason to arrest him. Complainant is a law enforcement officer with the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office. Complainant based this complaint on official police reports and statements of members of the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department, Milwaukee Police Department, and members of the Wisconsin State Crime Lab. Complainant notes the events described below occurred in Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. Based on that information, complainant states as follows. Discovery of a severed human leg in Warnemont Park. On Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024, around 5:29 p.m., members of law enforcement, including the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department and Cudahy Police Department, responded to Warnemont Park, located at 5400 South Lake Drive, to a report of a human leg located on the beach. First responders were led by the citizen who called police to the leg. Responding deputies located the right leg of what appeared to be a black female. The leg was severed just below the hip socket and appeared to have been sawn off. The toes on the feet had pink nail polish. The leg did not appear to be decomposing. Deputy Leon Martin was one of the first responding sheriff's deputies. Deputy Martin spoke to EM, which is in complaints they initialize the like a witness or to protect their identity, who discovered the leg. EM stated that he was meeting a friend at the park. EM stated that he and his friend were walking towards the beach and then saw the leg just north of the Warnemont Pump House at the shoreline. Deputy Martin reports that the area where the leg was located contains a bluff that is approximately 100 feet tall. The leg was originally found about two-thirds of the way down the bluff towards the water's edge. Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department Officer Detective Nathan Spittlemeister searched the area of the park for any cameras that may have captured something related to the discarding of the leg. Detective Spittlemeister located a video from Cudahy High School, which shows the parkways nearest to the pump house at the shoreline. The road that leads to the pump house is closed to vehicle traffic by a gate secured with a padlock and a chain. The video footage shows at approximately 2:53 a.m., a vehicle entering the video frame heading eastbound on the parkway towards the road to the pump house. The video shows that the vehicle did not make a southbound or northbound turn once reaching the intersection nearest to the service road. The vehicle disappears from the video footage, consistent with the vehicle driving down the road that leads to the pump house. Complainant knows this service road to the pump house would be the furthest that a car could go to get near Lake Michigan in that area. Detective Spittlemeister spoke to Cudahy Police Detective Brian Olson, who informed Spittlemeister that on the morning of April 2nd, 2024, employees of the Cudahy Water Department reported that the service gate had been struck by a vehicle. So basically, the car drove through the gate. The damage to the gate was done after the evening of April 1st and before the morning of April 2nd. This is consistent with when the vehicle seen on the video driving on that service road. Detective Blanchard from the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office went to the pump house gate and recovered broken pieces of a vehicle that were determined to belong to a Honda Civic. These damaged pieces would be consistent with the vehicle ramming the gate to get through. Detective Spittlemeister also recovered video from the pump house that faces north in the direction of where the severed leg was recovered. At approximately 3:02 a.m., a human figure can be seen descending the bluff to the beach level. This figure appears to make multiple attempts to walk between the beach and the service drive from the pump house. At approximately 4:31 p.m., the vehicle that entered the closed gate ultimately leaves the park heading westbound. So Maxwell Anderson spent approximately an hour and a half diddling around by the bluff with the limb. The leg was recovered and transported to the Milwaukee County Medical Examiner's Office and was examined by Dr. Lauren Decker. During the examination, based on the size of the leg, Dr. Decker estimated the height of the person to be approximately 5 feet tall. There were multiple cutting impressions around the amputation point, as well as sharp force trauma to the exposed femur bone. However, the top of the femur bone appeared to have been snapped off. The leg appeared to have been intentionally severed with a sharp instrument, including the bone being sawn halfway through. Okay, on to page 3. Sorry, we had to pause a little bit because this is very heavy.
And can I just say real quick, we might as well just say, like, another reason why this is important to us is because not only do we have a home, you know, Michelle has an apartment too, you know, because she works downtown, so she has an apartment. And come to find out, Sade lived in
Michelle's, in our building.
In the building.
Yeah.
Two floors down from us. So this is why. Because we've seen her and all that, so.
I mean, she literally lived two floors below us.
And then for no one to even come and ask if anyone has seen or heard anything. Because I saw the cops here and I was wondering.
Same.
So.
And just very, the whole circumstance is very sad. Okay, so the next topic of the criminal complaint is Sade. That's S-A-D-A. Robinson reported missing. At approximately 9 p.m. on April 2nd, 2024, a walk-in report was made by AJ. Again, that's for witnesses. They only use their initials. At the Milwaukee Police Department District 5 station, AJ reported that her friend Sade Robinson had not been returning AJ's calls and had not shown up for work. AJ provided a phone number for Robinson of, we're not listing it, and reported she lived at 1858 North Commerce, apartment 309 in Milwaukee. On April 3rd, MPD officer Nora Burlow responded to Robinson's apartment to conduct a welfare check. So she went missing on April 2nd. They reported her April 1st. They reported it April 2nd. They came to the apartment April 3rd to conduct a welfare check and was not able to make contact with Robinson. AJ further reported to investigators that the last known activity of Robinson was a Snapchat that AJ viewed showing that Robinson was at Duke's on Water. Good to note for later in the complaint, folks. Located at 158 East Juneau Avenue in Milwaukee on the evening of April 1st, 2024. No further contact has been made since with Robinson after that. Interesting to note that Jeffrey Dahmer worked at the chocolate factory, the Ambrosia factory, which I believe was also on Juneau, but whatever. Upon hearing of the discovery of the leg in Warnemont Park, Officer Burlow contacted the Sheriff's Department to inform them of the report of Robinson being missing, as well as the vehicle fire. No, they did not mention that so far yet. Complainant knows through contact with the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department has had with Robinson's family that Robinson is approximately 5 feet tall. The complainant knows that Robinson's listed height with the Department of Transportation is 5 feet. Officer Burlow, as well as Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office Detective Joseph Blanchard, made contact with employees of Robinson's apartment building. The apartment maintenance employee indicated that he had last seen Robinson on April 1st. Another employee reported that she would frequently see and speak with Robinson, and Robinson had told her that she was excited for a date she had the evening of April 1st. Detective Blanchard also reviewed video surveillance footage from the apartment building, and said footage depicts Robinson leaving the building around 9 a.m. on April 1st. Robinson is wearing a black puffy coat, white shirt, light-colored blue jeans with multiple tears in front, and white shoes. Now let's get to the burning vehicle. Discovery of Robinson's 2020 Honda Civic. On April 2nd at approximately 7:32 a.m., members of the Milwaukee Fire Department responded to 1819 North 29th, the area of Lisbon and 29th Street, for a vehicle fire. First responders located a 2020 Honda Civic with her registration with her plate number. We don't need to publicize that. The vehicle had sustained extreme fire damage, completely damaging the interior of the Civic. A check of that vehicle registration revealed that the vehicle belonged to Robinson. Items of Robinson's were discovered in the vehicle, as will be described later in this complaint. Complainant states on information and belief that this vehicle is worth more than $100. I don't know why that matters. Oh, because of the arson. Got it. So next category is Robinson's phone records. In response to the discovery of the human leg at Warnemont Park, as well as the similar timing of Robinson's being reported missing, as well as the arson of her vehicle, the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department obtained records from Verizon, the servicer of the phone number belonging to Robinson, and we are not listing her phone number. It should be noted that AJ, as well as family members of Robinson, confirmed that the number belonged to her. Detectives report that records were received from Verizon that included call detail records, location records, as well as recent text message content. It's amazing what they can find on your phone. Mm-hmm. Even if you delete a text,
it's still in there.
It's still in there. Upon review of the text message content, detectives located a text conversation between Robinson and the telephone number, not listing that. This was the last text message conversation in the records that contained outgoing messages from Robinson. Wow. Between approximately 4:15 and 5:18 of April 1st, they give a list of the text messages between her and Max Anderson.
Really?
So she says, where are we meeting? I can do 5. He says, downtown somewhere. She says, okay. He says, Brat House on 3rd. She says, perfect. He says, okay, I'm going to shower quick. I'll get there more around 5:15. He asks if she's hungry. That he needs to stop at Twisted Fisherman to pick up his W-2 from last year. I don't know why you're picking
it. That's a red flag right there.
I don't know why you're picking up your W-2 so late when they're supposed to be ready by, like, what, January 31st or something? But whatever, that's me. She says, okay, yes. Yeah. She said, are we eating at the Brat House or the other place? He says, let's eat at Twisted. I'm feeling seafood. Oh, I love seafood. He says, sounds good. That there's some weird emojis. He says, just got to Twisted. She said, okay, are you inside? He says, yes. Oh, my Lanta. I mean, red flag on picking up the W-2.
Right there.
And who says that, like, on a date, like, oh, let's go to this restaurant because I have to pick up my W-2 there anyway? It's like, you're almost like an afterthought then.
Right, pretty much.
Like, you're killing two birds with one stone, like, oh, I have to pick up my W-2, so I'll take her to eat there because I probably still get an employee discount. You know, it's probably, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Okay, so detectives search law enforcement databases which show an association between that number and Maxwell Anderson and the above, which is the above defendant. Furthermore, upon checking sheriff's office booking records, the defendant provided that phone number during a booking process last year with some incident that he had going on. Oh, this is so heavy.
Yeah, it's always.
Sheriff's Department responded to the Twisted Fisherman located at 1200 West Canal Street, which is by the Potawatomi Casino. Shout out, Pato.
Stay out of there.
Well, I won $900 on Christmas, so here we go. Okay, so anyway, detectives recovered surveillance video from Twisted Fisherman. They reviewed the video as well and reviewed booking photos of the defendant and as well as photos of Sade. So they matched up that they saw the two of them together. Approximately 5:10 on April 1st, Max Anderson enters Twisted Fisherman from the west. His face is clearly visible on the exterior cameras. He was not hiding himself. At 5:20, Sade shows up, enters the restaurant, approaches the bar, sits next to Max. Max and Robinson remain at the bar eating and having drinks together until they leave the restaurant at 6:24. Well, that's an early date time, by the way. They both leave towards the east, which is the direction of where Robinson arrived from. She's still wearing the black puffy coat, white shirt, light colored jeans, white shoes, and she's carrying a dark grayish brown purse. The defendant has his hair in a ponytail, red flannel coat with a gray hood and a black t-shirt with Carhartt written on it, and dark jeans. There's no cameras at the Twisted Fisherman that depict the parking lot. Weird that they don't have cameras in the parking lot. Whew, page 5. Detectives spoke to the owner of the restaurant, who stated that he knew the defendant as an ex-employee. The detective also spoke to one of the managers. The manager viewed the surveillance video and identified the male subject as with Robinson as the defendant that he knew was a former employee, and further stated that Max Anderson came in to get his W-2, consistent with the text conversation. The detectives also spoke with a bartender who served the defendant Robinson. He said that the defendant initially came in and indicated he was picking up his W-2, but then informed the bartender that he was staying at the Twisted Fisherman to meet a female for a first date. Bartender knew the defendant as a former employee. He said that Robinson arrived and sat with the defendant. They appeared to be having a casual conversation before leaving together.
So this is DBJ. I'm just going to take over reading for a few minutes. So Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office Detective BC conducted an interview on April 3, 2024 with ASF, who identified herself as a friend of Robinson. ASF indicated to Detective C that she became aware Robinson was missing by seeing it on the news. ASF stated that after she learned Robinson was missing, she accessed Robinson's Life 360 app on her cell phone. Complainant knows Life 360 is an application that provides location-based services and allows users/subscribers to share their locations with others. ASF stated that upon checking Life 360, she observed that Robinson's phone appeared to be in Warnemont Park around 4:33 a.m. on April 2, 2024. Complainant knows investigators received Life 360 records from ASF as well as Robinson's mother's SLS. The Life360 accounts belonging to Robinson also is linked to her phone number mentioned above. Complainant has reviewed the information from Life360 and summarizes the location of Robinson's phone as follows. The times indicated below are in military time.
From 5:05 to 6:29, which is an hour and 24 minutes, the phone was Robinson's phone was near 1126 West Canal, which is Twisted Fisherman. Between 6:29 and 6:35, the device traveled from 595 West Kilbourne to 1137 Water Street. So it's Twisted Fisherman to Dukes on Water. From 7 o'clock to... that's 2106, 7, 8, 9 p.m. So 2 hours they were at Duke's. Then after they left Duke's, they went to 40th and Oklahoma, which Anderson's residence is 39th and Oklahoma. So from 9 p.m. until sometime a little after midnight, it still stayed at his residence. It's a little hard to read. From midnight until 1:30 in the morning, her phone traveled from 40th and Oklahoma to another location, which is near Kern Park. Close to her original residence. From 2 a.m. to almost 3 a.m., the device traveled from Humboldt to South Lake Drive, which is where her leg was found. From 3:30 to 4:30, the device was stationary, so it didn't move, in the stretch of Bournemouth Park where the leg was found. 3:30 to 4:30, it was, so like he had the phone in his vehicle or her vehicle, but like the phone was on. At 4:30, the battery died, and that was the end of that phone. Complainant states that on April 4th, investigators with the Sheriff's Department executed a search warrant of the defendant's residence at, we're not listing his address. During the execution of the search warrant, identifiers for the defendant were located, including packages addressed to the defendant. Basically, they just want to verify that is his home. Additionally, blood was located on the bedding of one of the bedrooms and the walls leading towards the basement. Several gasoline containers were located in the garage and storage area. Furthermore, complainant knows that the Verizon records for Robinson's phone, which included call details and location, were analyzed by investigators. So at this point, they know that her phone was like in his residence. And they knew the movement of everything. Okay, so basically it looks like, I'm not going to read through every little minute of the phone, but it looks like they were in her vehicle driving around before they got to his residence. So we're just going to skip over like every minute of where the vehicle was. Now we move on to the discovery of more human remains near 31st and Galena. On Saturday, members...
I'm getting upset just listening.
I know. On Saturday, April 6th, members of the police department began to canvass the area where Robinson's Honda Civic was set on fire. While searching the area of 31st and Galena, playground area, and what a... Pardon my French... What a sick fuck to leave human remains near a child's playground. Like, it wasn't a park. like, for those that are not familiar with the area, it's just like a tiny little park where, like, there's a play, like a
Small neighborhood park,
like a jungle gym kind of like thing, just a area of grass where they have a playground for little kids. It's not like a county park,
right? Like a big
where it's a huge
park.
Space and there's green space and whatever. It was like strictly a park where little kids fucking play.
And I would just add real quick, this is the racial part that I will just add real quick.
I was just about to add
the part that the part where he dumped her body in a black neighborhood, burnt her car in a black neighborhood, so that people would think, oh, is this a black on black crime? You know what I mean?
And again, we're just theorizing, but what other conclusion can you come from? Like, you dump her leg in Cudahy, which is predominantly white area, but then you dump the rest of her and burn her car in a black neighborhood.
Jesse Anderson, same thing.
Like, why? Different kind of hell for those people. Okay, so while searching the area of 31st and Galena Playground, MPD detective located a human foot in the wooded area adjacent to the train tracks that border the playground. Investigators located, in addition to the foot, another piece of what appeared to be human flesh in the same area. Gross. Complainant observed the recovered foot as well as the leg, and observed they appeared to be from the same individual, particularly due to the skin tone, size, and having matching pink nail polish. Oh, I just feel sick. The location of where these remains were discovered were approximately one block south of where Robinson's car was set on fire. Too many coincidences. Not sure how his defense attorney is going to explain this. Okay, members of the police department attempted to locate video footage regarding either the disposal of the human remains or footage related to the arson. Detective obtained video from the transit system, thank God, traveling westbound on Lisbon Avenue, which is near 31st and Galena, by the way. The video footage depicts the following. The bus stops at the corner of 29th and Lisbon at 7:29 a.m. Two subjects can be seen walking westbound on the north side of Lisbon Avenue, passing a liquor store. I don't know why that's... just location-wise. One of the subjects is wearing a blue coat. The other is holding...
Cocktail, baby.
Ugh, tell me about it.
I'll be back in a few minutes.
Another subject is holding a black and white umbrella. The bus begins to drive towards 30th Street, at which time the person in the blue coat appears to be checking something out to the north, at which time a different subject can be seen walking through the grass lot towards Lisbon. The subject is walking away from a fire that is beginning to burn at the parking slab behind a building on 30th of Lisbon. As the transit bus passes the person walking away from the fire, you can see this individual appears to be a white male and is wearing dark pants, dark gray hooded top, carrying a tan colored backpack with tan straps that appears to be full. As the bus continues to drive, the burning of Robinson's car is visible. As the bus continues to pass, the subject of the tan backpack can be seen starting to cross Lisbon Avenue southbound. Milwaukee detective recovered video footage from Lisbon Liquor and Food Mart. This footage depicts the same subject. The subject in the blue jacket and the subject with the umbrella walking westbound. Upon reaching the vacant lot next to the liquor store, both subjects appear to slow down, at which point the subject with the tan backpack begins to walk across Lisbon. The person in the blue jacket then appears to be in shock and begins pointing at the person in the tan backpack as he walks away. The subject in the blue jacket then tries to flag down cars. Okay, so the guy in the blue jacket had nothing to do with anything, just happens to be walking near this Anderson guy,
dude,
and is like,
oh
shit, you just let that car on fire and walked away. And he appears to be saying, he's trying to flag down cars, and says, like, he did that while pointing across the street to the person in the tan backpack. Subject in the blue jacket begins yelling for someone to call the fire department. Investigators were eventually able to identify the subject in the blue jacket. Detectives interviewed him, who stated the following. The guy with the blue jacket was walking down Lisbon with her friend, saw a white male exit the driver's door of Robinson's Honda. She then observed the white male light a lighter and toss it into the driver's door of the Honda, then began walking in her direction. She last saw this white male walking westbound on Walnut from 30th. Detectives then saturated the area to recover any surveillance footage that would capture, like, what had happened. Okay, page 8 of 10 of the complaint.
Let me know if you need a breather, baby.
Okay. So basically, they have bus footage. So he hopped on the bus.
Dude got on the bus.
So he got on the bus to go back home because obviously he couldn't go home because the car he had driven is now torched. So they have surveillance video of him going on the bus, going back to, I don't know where he was going to, probably trying to figure out how to take which bus to get back home because he was on another side of town. Even though Milwaukee isn't that big, the buses, like, don't just take you from one side of town to the other. You have to take multiple buses.
I'm gonna say real quick, too, because I've been to the joint. He ain't going to do no time up here, just so people know. They're going to send dudes somewhere out of state. Because somebody will do something to do. I'm just saying, right. Somebody ended up doing something to do.
And also, I just want to note, on the news, they have his mugshot, obviously, and he looks just like an angry young man. Even though he's in his 30s, I'm just going to say young man. But the bus photo...
Mad at the world, white boy.
The bus photo looks like he is completely physically exhausted. Just so you know, like his face...
He looks like he just did a lot,
mm-hmm. right? Like, you
Not
know,
a lot good.
Running a marathon, just completely depleted. Like his face is pale. He just looks exhausted, right?
Yeah.
So the complaint goes on. They had video footage of him taking his the different buses back home. Towed the vehicle, the burned out vehicle, to where it had been set on fire, and it was searched by the Sheriff's Department and members of the State Crime Lab. During the search, located in the trunk was clothing that Robinson was wearing on the evening of April 1st, namely the black puffer coat, the light blue ripped jeans, the white shoes, along with her purse. These items were found in the trunk of the vehicle and were partially fire damaged, although undamaged enough to identify them as items she had been wearing or carrying. Also recovered was remnants of an iPhone consistent with the iPhone that she was known to have. Detectives reviewed additional surveillance video footage from the residence across from the street of the defendant's residence. That review revealed the following. At around 9:24 p.m. on April 1st, there's motion near the back gate of the defendant's property, which appears to swing open. The shadows consistent of two human figures entering the backyard. And at 9:26, the living room light in the front of the residence turns on. This would be consistent with the time on Robinson's phone, which appeared to have arrived at his residence, and would be consistent with Robinson and Anderson arriving at his residence together. At approximately 11:30, there's human movement in the backyard again. This movement continues on and off until approximately 12:45 a.m. On April 2nd, this is consistent with the time when Robinson's phone appears to depart the residence and begin traveling around the city of Milwaukee. So was he just driving around looking somewhere to dump her, I think? Because they I didn't read all of it, but they had her phone pinging at different locations all over the Central City, River West area, East Side. So he was clearly trying to figure out, like, what to do with her various remains. Her phone never appears to depart his home. Like, so her phone dies, but then they pick up his phone pinging. Detectives also recovered surveillance video from South 40th, which is near the alleyway of his home. It shows Robinson's vehicle leaving the alley at 12:45. The detectives also recovered video footage from a camera that depicts the intersection of 35th and Greenfield, which is north of his home. That video footage depicts Robinson's vehicle heading northbound on 35th at approximately 10:01 a.m. This move-in is consistent with the location. So basically he took 35th Street and went north into a black neighborhood. Just saying. Complainant knows that on April 4th at 1:15 a.m., detectives conducted a traffic stop of a black Santa Fe license plate. We're not reading that. Belonging to the defendant. He was stopped near 38th and Lakefield Drive, few blocks from his residence. He was arrested at that time. Search of the defendant's vehicle led to the recovery of a zip-up hooded coat that appeared to be the same coat that was shown in surveillance video. Based on preliminary analysis, Sade Robinson was compared to, the standard of her DNA was compared to blood standard from the human leg, and it was confirmed. Complainant further states that since the Sheriff's Department and Police Department began the investigation into the severed leg recovered at Warnemont Park, as well as the missing person investigation related to Sade Robinson, no one from her family nor her friends have heard from her. The last contact anyone has had from her was on April 1st. No one has had any contact with her since she was with the defendant. Based on the circumstances surrounding the disappearance and the recovery of the human leg and the other human remains, the facts mentioned in this complaint caused the complainant to conclude that the defendant intentionally killed and then dismembered Robinson with the intent to conceal the homicide, and it occurred between the arrival of the defendant's residence and his departure from the Warnemont Park. End of complaint.
So, hearing that, you know, when Michelle was reading that criminal complaint, it was tough to read, tough to hear, you know what I mean? Because like I said, Michelle, you know, lives in that apartment building too. Well, you know, well, we have a home, we live in a home together, but, you know, we have an apartment as well downtown, so we're there sometimes as well, so, you know what I mean? So that's why it's, because like I said, I was leaving for work one morning, and it may even be on one of the podcasts. I was talking, and I was like, whoa, the police are here. I wonder what they're doing here. So I think that's what they're here for. So, yeah, it's tough. Thanks, Michelle, for reading that. But we just wanted to get that out to just, you know, talk about, man, what's going on out here. This shit is fucked up, man. It's a lot of just... Be careful out here, you know what I mean? When you're dating or when you're meeting people or just, you know, whatever, you're out at bars or whatever, you're ordering drinks and stuff like that. You know, don't be letting, man or woman, don't just be letting, you know, people you just met, you know, buy you drinks and bring them to you and all that stuff. And, you know, make sure, you know, you have friends around you when you're leaving places. You know, it was good they had that Life 360 app. I never knew anything about that. So, I may download that app, because you never know when that'll come in handy, man. So just, you know, like I always say, keep your head on a swivel out here. Pay attention to what is going on around you, man. Because there are some sick-ass individuals out here, man, that are out here looking to hurt people, man. So just stay safe. Have a great rest of your day. And that's it. Thanks for listening. Yeah, that was a criminal complaint. We were able to get our hands on it, and so we just wanted to share that with the public, you know what I mean? Because it's important, man, that people know. And hopefully this bitch gets convicted. And yeah, but like I was saying, I've been to prison. I've been to WAPA, I've been to MAX, I've been to all of them. They're not going to send dude to a prison up. And if they do, he's going to be on adjustment segregation. That means he's going to do all of his time in the hole by himself in his own room. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way he's going to stay here in a MAX prison, especially after what happened to Jeffrey Dahmer and Jesse Anderson. If you guys aren't familiar with Jesse Anderson, he was another white guy. He killed his wife. This was back when Northridge and stuff. They went out to dinner at TGI Fridays. I played it the clip on one of my podcasts. Took his wife out to dinner. This is a white guy. Took his wife out to dinner, stabbed her up, killed her, and tried to say two black men did it. And then some days later, the black dude saw it on the TV or whatever and was like, hey, dude bought that hat from me. Because he tried to buy a hat from a black dude, you know what I'm saying, to make it look like they did it, you know, so the DNA would be all that kind of shit. But it turned around on him, you know what I'm saying, and he got convicted, you know, got sent to prison. He was in prison with Jeffrey Dahmer, and that's Christopher Scarver killed both of them. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think they learned from that. So I don't think you will see when this kind of super high profile case, they're going to send him to somewhere out of state, you know, in the glow of darkness, you know what I'm saying, and just to do his time. Because he would have a very, 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 very rough time up here. Because people, it's all on the news. Everyone already knows about it and stuff. So, yeah. But appreciate you guys listening. We'll probably be back in touch this weekend. We're going to rest for a little while and take it easy. I'm going to watch some NBA basketball, watching the Masters, golf, and all that stuff, and just catch a little nap and chill. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening, and we'll be in touch. And until the next one, peace, and stay safe out here.